Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started. We want you to welcome you in the name of the Lord. We're going to get right into worship and into praise this morning. I'm going to ask you a question here. How many people here have had a situation in their lives to where they knew that it was bigger than they was, but it wasn't bigger than God?
Amen.
Amen. Listen here, that's where we are, that's where we're at this morning. We're here at a beautiful, beautiful day of the Lord's given us. Each one of us have the opportunity, Brother Terry, to be here this morning. We could be in a lot worse situation than we are, but God's blessed us to be here this morning. And he's such a good, good God. And the good thing about it is, you know, even David, when Samuel came and anointed him to be king, he didn't realize what he was going to face. Matter of fact, he probably may have had second thoughts had he knew he was going to be facing old Goliath. But the anointing of God will always get you through. Amen? So if you find him worthy to praise, if you find him worthy to be worshipped, I want to ask you to stand to your feet right now. If you want to, come up to the front this morning and let's praise the Lord. Because you know what? When you get to heaven, I promise you there's going to be an awful lot of worship going on. You might as well get used to it here. Amen?
Waiting here for you with our hands. you promised. Your faithfulness is true, and we're desperate for your presence. All we need is you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. You know, when they sing that song, I can't help but think of that verse of Scripture that says, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And how a lot of times we interpret that maybe as a waiting, and that we're just sitting around being idle. And you've probably heard me preach on this before. And man, I think, and I'm going to geek out just for a second here and say something that you all don't even care about, but with what I do with softball pitching and things of that nature, I do physical assessments on the girls, and so I have them do certain things and see how their body moves, because that tells me if they have a physical compensation, what we call a physical compensation. So if it's easier for them to lift their heels off the ground as they squat, then I know they got a tight hip, knee, or ankle, and so we work on getting that mobilized so they can do what they need to do. And I always tell them this, the body takes the path of least resistance. That's the reason you compensate for things in the day. If your back hurts, you'll sort of wear something else out, because your body's always going to take the path of least resistance. And I think as humans, we are always, if left to give left with the choice, we're going to usually take the path of least resistance. And so when we receive that verse of Scripture, or we hear a song like that, wait on the Lord, we sort of take that for what we want it to mean, that we're going to sit right here and do nothing. How many of you like to sit and do nothing? wrong generation, I guess. I don't know. Like, I enjoy sitting and doing that. As a matter of fact, the icebreaker at the house Friday night, Ted asked the question, what do you look forward to? The older you get, what do you look forward to? And I was sitting in my recliner with my feet up burning, and I said, you're looking at it. This is what gets exciting for me. The older I get is to sort of kick your feet up and sort of take a little break there. But that's not what that word means. It actually means to wait as being a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant. In other words, you're anticipating a command, right? And so as we talk about waiting on the Lord, it's not just kick back, taking a nap, but it's waiting on Him to give a command so we can move. And I'm excited to be a part of a bunch of people that I believe sort of do exactly that. And I love to sit in the during the worship, people coming up to the altar to pray, and people going to people to pray for them, things of that nature. Love to see that in our church, and we appreciate the move of the Holy Spirit here, and we never want to take that for granted. Amen. Amen. But I want the ushers to come. If they would, we're going to wait on you for your tithe and offering. Let me say that our last Sunday was our first Alms Sunday, which was the fifth Sunday of the month, and our project that we were working toward was the flooring in the kitchen. And so between what we received Sunday morning and then online, we got about a third of the way there, right? So if you want to give toward that, you can still do that on the app or whatever, or mark it here, Building Fund, if you want to continue to give toward that. I certainly don't, I don't anticipate just flooring a third of the floor in there and leaving the rest undone. If you want to continue to give toward that, you can do that as well. As you can see, we got a lot of construction going on here. And how many of you know it's hard to find a contractor and a good contractor and somebody that'll show up and do all that? Very hard, right? I tell all young kids, look, if you want to get in something, make you some money, you need to get with Ray over here and learn what he's doing, because in 5 years you'll be able to absolutely bankrupt people, because if they're going to get it done, you're going to be able to name your price, right? And I said that to say this, that I appreciate Ray, and even Wyatt there goes and helps him, does a whole lot there, and he's a pretty observant fellow there. He noticed me and Ray had the same thing going on there one day, and Ted was talking to me about it. I was like, yeah, it's pretty sharp. And Ray's dad, of course, comes and help. And I want to give him and that crew a hand clap of appreciation for really hanging with it out there and sort of getting that done. It's hot, though. I don't understand that, Ray. Why is it it's still hot out there? But and I'm kidding. Man, y'all are tight this morning. Feel like I need to work on my act here or something. Y'all making it tough. It is warm out there, so I don't think we'll be using it for VBS necessarily, but we'll get in there before too long, and so we're excited about that. We appreciate all the giving that you do, because that's where it goes. And so we want you to bow your heads just for a moment. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, God, for the tithe and the offering, Lord, that we're going to receive this morning for the uplift and build of your kingdom. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would bless those who have to give, those who do not. And we ask, Lord, that you would pray, Lord, that you would put a blessing on it to make it go for the building of your kingdom, and to be able to stretch it and go as far as we can with it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. While they're waiting on you for your tithe and offering, announcement or two here. Vacation Bible School's coming up. Excited about that. Always love it. Vacation Bible School here. It's sort of like the summer, jump that we need, like the booster shot that we need during the summer here, because it pulls everybody together. If nobody even told me when VBS was going to be, I would know when that is, because I see Liz making rounds and volunteering people. There's volunteering, then there's voluntold, right? And I heard her sort of drafting somebody today to work VBS, because if you've ever done VBS here, it takes a whole lot of people to get that done. And so, but they're doing registration for that, which will help that night for all those that don't come here, who come to VBS. That registration out there will be packed. So if you want to register your children early, stop out there and do that at the table. They'll be out there for that. groups have ended for the next little bit, simply because this next Wednesday is, or this coming Wednesday, camp meeting. Then we're going to take that Wednesday off before Vacation Bible School, give them the whole place to do what they need to do for Vacation Bible School and all that. And then we'll have Vacation Bible School, and then we'll be right in the middle of the 4th of July stuff. And so we're going to kick something back off probably around July 12th, I think, right after vacation season. We're going to kick some stuff off there and have a Bible study here on Wednesday, and a few other groups is going to take place that we'll talk to you about when it comes time. But just remember, there's nothing really going on for the next couple of weeks, and when we get ready to stoke that back up, we'll certainly let you know. Let me say that I appreciate you being here with me this morning and diving into part two here of our Living Beyond the Prompt series. And I wanted to recap just a little bit, and it didn't really dawn on me until maybe thinking through this a little bit further. I think it was yesterday morning when I got to thinking about this. I thought, man, this is almost like it's not a gripe session, certainly, but it's almost like what scares me the most about AI kind of thing there. And I didn't even realize it until I started putting last week's message with this week's message in that way. And so I wanted to recap and sort of button some things up and then move on this week. And I said last week, you know, that number one, I'm not afraid of AI. I use AI a whole lot. I think it's good in and of itself if you know how to use it, but it's not to take the place of the Holy Spirit. And that was the whole, you know, and somebody would, many of us would go, man, you're crazy. How could it do that? What I mean is, it's not to take the place of somebody giving you spiritual advice, direction, guidance, and all those other things. That is the Holy Spirit's job, and that are the, and we're going to find out today, that's the people that are around you this morning. That's part of their job as well, is to give you good input, because as I made statement last week, AI even tells you in everything it asks, AI can make mistakes, right? And so my fear was that we would begin to depend on AI to the extent that we would use it more than a tool, and it would actually start to direct us and lead us in some ways that maybe only the Holy Spirit should be leading us. And don't get me wrong, AI can do a whole lot of things, but AI does not know the future in the way the Holy Spirit does. It does not know the past in the way that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is eternal, and so He has been around forever, and He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the plan of God. He knows the mind of God, and I would rather live by revelation than just information. And so that was my take last week, was I was fearful that it would begin to take the place of spiritual direction in our lives in the way of the Holy Spirit. And that algorithm that you're given, whenever that thing answers, and all the technological stuff that you do, it's got an algorithm that sort of knows, you know, what you're shopping for, what you've been looking at, all those other things. That algorithm is always going to pale in comparison to the resident that lives on the inside of us, who is the third part of the Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. So, that was one of my biggest fears, and I didn't realize this until I was putting it together in my mind yesterday morning, I believe it was. Maybe the second biggest, or maybe right up there, 1A, 1B, 1B fear of AI is that if we're not careful, it's going to isolate us even more than what technology has already isolated. And I wonder sometimes if people here get tired of me talking about these things, because I talk about them often, but I believe it's because the generation that's coming up, and here's what I need you to know, is if you're past AI, if you're past technology, if you're, you know, not, if you grow up without a phone in your hand, you probably are not sort of, you know, you're probably out of the loop here. You're probably going, what's this even matter? But I'm going to tell you something. If you grew up with a phone in your hand, and the generation that I am, and especially younger. As a matter of fact, I told them this morning in our little on-ramp group that we got, I said, you know, I think that groups are really good to sort of get people together, because, and we're going to struggle with the idea of groups, I think, in certain ways. There's going to be a positive and a negative there. And just hang on, I want to ramble a minute. Can I ramble? So the negative about the younger generation and the ones that we're bringing up now is they're not going to be real comfortable in a relationship where they have to look at each other eyeball to eyeball. My boy was in high school, two or three of his years, I think, was behind a computer screen during COVID, right? Now, he's moved away, but even when he came to church here, if I ask you how many times or who sees Micah, y'all go, I don't even know if he's here or not, because he's the church ninja. He comes in and he goes upstairs and he watches it through that window. And then he usually leaves before any interaction takes place. He's, you know, some of it's, he's born with that with me. Like, I'm not a big people person either. But then he was sort of shoved into this thing where all his interactions on a screen. And so eyeball to eyeball is hard for that generation. And the further we go, the harder that's going to be. And that is my fear. One of my biggest fears with AI is if they learn to depend on AI for direction, guidance, counseling, and all those other things, they never have to talk to a human being. They can talk to that prompt and get answers and get directions. Y'all with me or not? So that's going to isolate them even more. That's going to shove them away even more. And I need you to understand that that is not how the gospel is laid out at all. As a matter of fact, and you've heard me say this probably, when we talk about the Ten Commandments, number one is love God, right? With all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Number two is love your neighbor as yourself, right? 3 through 10 is the fruit of loving your neighbor. Y'all with me? If you love your neighbor, you ain't going to kill him. You ain't going to steal off of him. You ain't going to steal his woman. Y'all with me? So God gives us this command, and then somebody says, what's the greatest of the commands? And Jesus said, it's found in the first two. Love God, love your neighbor. How many of you know it's really easy to love God? No? How many? It's easy to love God, right? How many of you know it ain't always easy to love your neighbor, right? I love that jingle that they made up during COVID, like a good neighbor, stay over there. Y'all remember that jingle? It's not always easy to love your neighbor, but you know what? If you're going to do the commandments of God, you're going to do 2 through 10. As a matter of fact, if you don't do 2 through 10, it's hard to even call yourself a disciple. And I'm saying that in an easy terms. As a matter of fact, I think the Bible says, how do you know that you pass from death unto life? Because you have love for the brethren. So it's about that relationship. And if we lose sight of the fact that it's about a relationship, one with another, and fellowship, and we allow AI to come in and fill those voids, especially in the younger generation, then we're headed down the wrong road. And so, in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read to you two passages of Scripture if you want to stand for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. How many of you remember me talking about the trellis, the vine? You've got to put it in the ground and allow that vine to grow, because if not, it just gets stumped out and doesn't grow. It gets consumed with weeds. It's got to have something to grow on. This is the trellis of the church right here. This is why AI can never replace the body of Christ. And listen, live stream is great for when you can't make it. We always do that. We always try to live stream. Last week we had an issue. Dave was smart enough to record it. He's going to put it up there. It's going to be there so that people can go back and watch it. If somebody can't make it, if they're working, they need to watch that message again. I love live stream, but let me assure you, live stream will never take the place of what you get here when you gather together. Okay? But Paul said this. Well, wait a minute. I messed up, didn't I, Dave? I told Dave to loan me another scripture. Can you do Ephesians 2 first? 8 through 10? Or, yeah, 8 through 10? I told him that, and then I skipped right over it because this was a last-minute thought here. Almost walked away. So let's go to 8 through 10 first. Everybody knows this verse of scripture, right? For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. So Paul's trying to convince them here that it's not something you've done, but it's through grace. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, it's not a result of works so that no one may boast. In other words, God don't want you saying, look what I've done. So the only way you get salvation is through grace, right? And then it talks about in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How many of you would look at those three scriptures and go, that is without a doubt, no argument, I don't care how deep you get theologically, there is no argument right there. That is assigned to us, and that matters to us, and we can say that 8, 9, and 10 apply to us. Let me see your hand. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. So for some reason, this one gets excluded, even though it's just two chapters down. Now, anything I say today ain't going to have nothing to do with chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, except this, to establish the fact that if Paul was talking to you in chapter 2, he's talking to you in chapter 4. You can't exclude this verse of Scripture. He's talking about the body of Christ and how it's set up, and he says this, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers, and he gave them for a reason, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. You can be seated if you wish. So some of you have heard me teach and talk about the fivefold again, and I'm going to hit this real fast and then tie it in with what I'm talking about here with AI. I want you to understand that God, in all of his wisdom, gave us the body of Christ, and in the body of Christ, he gave us a fivefold ministry for the edification of the body so that the saints could do ministry. And I always mention this. We, unfortunately, have a Western model of church where for years the people hire one guy to do usually what they don't want to do. So they hire a guy, a pastor, to go and visit, try to make disciples, teach, all these other things, right? Nothing wrong with that in and of itself, but when the mindset becomes that's their job and their job alone, we miss out a whole lot on this scripture because it says they're actually given for the edifying of you all so you all can do ministry. And so you have a part involved in the church, and it just doesn't revolve around one or two people. And he says this, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. How many of you, I always do this because I want you to memorize these. How many remember this? Y'all with me? Okay, I probably got some new ones here. Everybody raise your right hand. Repeat after me. No, I'm kidding. Just raise your, but I ain't kidding about raising your right hand. Yeah, raise your right hand. You can do your left if you're a lefty. It don't matter. Look here. He gave apostles. They touch them all. At your thumb, right? Then he gave prophets. They point the way. Okay? Then they gave evangelists. Be careful here. Leave all five up. The evangelist. See how it's longer? They reach into the world. They reach in farther than anybody else. Then the ring finger, that's the pastor. He's married to the church. The pinky is the teacher because they get in your ear. Okay? So he gave us the fivefold ministry, and he gave it to us for a reason, so that you and I could be edified in the body of Christ, so that we would become more than just an audience and we would become an army. So that you would understand that the concept here to equip is like it's almost like a relocating of a dislocated bone. He's saying when you're given this fivefold ministry, it's going to be able to take people and, that are out of place and put them into place so that they can edify the body of Christ so that they can grow. And I'm made to believe that all five of those offices in one way or the other still are operational in the church. And we need them all. We need that apostle style, sort of mindset that says, I don't have to do it all. I don't need to do it all. I don't want to do it all. I'm going to establish ministries to be able to do these things so the church can continue to grow. We need the prophet who hears from God. And I'll tell you something, we need to recognize those people and label them as such. I don't know why we don't do that, but we need to. When somebody says, hey, and they come to me and they said, I feel like this, I judge that. I wait and see. If that comes to pass, I put that in a prophetic mindset. But if it's just about a prophetic mindset and there's no apostle there at work, they get the vision, but they never are able to attain that because all the prophet knows is where they're going. The apostle sort of knows all the things you got to do to be able to get them there. And I know we don't think in this kind of context, but these are the things that the church needs to make sure that we don't fall into the idea that AI becomes an apostle. And again, some of you might go, man, that's so far out there. You wait for about 5 years and come back and tell me if that's so far out there. How many of you remember when I first came here, I said, we're living closer to the first century spiritually than we ever have. I've been preaching that since I came here. Can I tell you something? We are living in the first century spiritually right now. And you can't say you didn't warn me, because I did. This is when, before COVID hit, remember what I started talking about? You better know who God is before a crisis hits. Crisis hits, and you know what happened? Everybody had to either know that they could depend on God, or those that didn't know God were scrambling, trying to figure out a relationship with Him. What I'm telling you is this. We stay ahead of the curve for whatever the reason. God allows us to stay ahead of the curve. And I need you to understand that when it comes to this, we cannot let technology, AI, take the place of what God put in the body of Christ to make sure that you're edified. And the point being is you need one another. AI would sort of say, hey, hang with me. I've got all the answers. Fact of the matter is, there's a presence that takes place when you and I gather together to worship that you aren't going to feel talking with your AI. Let me take a poll here right real fast. How many of you come in really not interested, maybe not engaged, maybe wore out? You got your reasons. Nobody's judging you. You show up on Sunday morning just because it's Sunday morning. You know, the Bible says enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. I'll be honest with you, most of us don't do that. You don't. You come because it's Sunday morning. You know what? God bless you. That's better than not coming. But how many of you came in and not had that, and somebody beside of you maybe feels it a little bit more than you do, right? And they raise their hand, they start worshiping God. And before you know it, the Spirit of God starts going breast to breast, and all of a sudden you go, you know what? Man, this feels good. And you slip those hands up, and before you know it, the Spirit of God is encouraging you and uplifting you. I want to tell you something. You ain't going to get that behind a computer screen or a television monitor or at your house a whole lot of times on live stream. You're only going to get that here in the presence of each other. Man, I could rattle on and on and on. How many of you feel better if you got a situation in your life? Just to be honest with you. And there, I've had some people go, oh, not me, brother. And I'm like, well, God bless you. How many of you feel better if you got a big situation in your life, you'll have somebody else pray for you? You're going to pray for yourself, but you go, I need somebody else praying. Now, there's a couple ways to look at that. I could look at that and go, why, what's wrong with your prayer life? Right? Right? Or I could look at that and go, you know what? That's exactly how God designed it. Because He wanted us to need one another. Same way. I go to Leanne, I say, Leanne, I got something I need you to pray for. I need her to pray because I'm doing all I can, but I'm thinking Leanne's going to get a prayer answered maybe when I don't. You know what Leanne's going to have faith to do? Pray for me and have more faith that God answers for me than he does even for her. Are y'all with me? So in other words, you can pray for yourself, but you have a whole lot more faith that God's going to move on somebody else's behalf than on yours. I don't know why we avoid that sometimes. It's just the truth. And the truth is, we're designed that way because if we never needed our neighbor that's sitting beside of us, we could sit at the house, get information, just stay by ourselves, and everything would be grand. But I'm going to tell you, God did not design it that way. As a matter of fact, when he made Adam, he said it is not good for man to be alone. You need somebody with you. Maybe you've had bad relationships. Maybe you're not, given to that train of thought too much. I would tell you this, you still cannot avoid people and live the fullest life that you can live. I ain't even hit none of what I brought. Here's what I want you to understand about that relationship. And it's okay. Let's do this. I'm silly. Let's all close our eyes just for a minute. I'm going to close mine. Nobody looking but God. And live stream. You've thought to yourself at one time or another, I'm just going to avoid people because it's easier. I need a peace of mind. Slip your hand up. I ain't looking. Just let you know I got both hands up. All right, open your eyes. Well, put your hands down first. Truth of the matter, I'd say most people raise their hand right there because we approach a relationship with a selfish attitude. If it's hard, we don't want it. If it messes with our peace of mind, we don't want it. Now, are there some relationships you just need to get out of? Yes, the Lord will show you that. Absolutely. 110%. It's not a one-time, not the whole blanket type thing. But I'm going to tell you something. We run from some relationships because we don't really get anything out of them, Vicki. But you know what? We're running from an opportunity for God to grow us because it's not about you in that relationship. It's about the other person. It's easy to be in a relationship with somebody who says what you say, backs you up on everything, likes the same things you like, always agrees with you. Remember last week when I said one of the dangers of AI is it always agrees with you? Like I ask it some crazy stuff sometimes just to see what it says. You know what it says? That's a great idea. It don't matter what you ask, outstanding idea. It always agrees with you. I told you last week the Holy Spirit is not always going to agree with you. Sometimes you grieve the Holy Spirit and you can offend the Holy Spirit. He's not always going to agree with you. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you need to be in a relationship with somebody who doesn't always agree with you. And AI is going to take that out. People are going to find that they can go home and talk to that AI, and man, it's going to be like a genie in a bottle. I'm here at your command. That's a great idea. Let me help you develop that. You never get sharpened. You know why? Bible says iron sharpens iron. And when iron sharpens iron, there's sparks that fly. There's disagreements that take place. There's conflict that happens whenever that happens. But if you always seek those relationships that never have sparks fly, that nobody ever seeks, everybody needs a blind spot person in their life. You know what a blind spot person is? You know when you're driving down the road and you get ready to change lanes, you look in that mirror, you think it's clear, but there's a car right beside of you because the blind spot. I'm going to tell you, we all have blind spots in our lives. We all have flaws that we don't see, and we need a passenger beside of us that's comfortable enough with us to go, you know what? I know you think that, but here's really what's going on. You need somebody that's going to challenge you from time to time. You need somebody it's going to be like that iron that sharpens iron. If you're always around somebody that always agrees with you, you're never, ever going to grow. If you can't take that constructive criticism, you need to hop on AI then. Right? But if you really want to grow, God set this thing up in a way, and he gave this fivefold ministry, and then he put us together so that that conflict and that collision of the two, the iron sharpened iron, so that they can both be sharpened and quickened. You need to understand that when that happens, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard conversations. Sometimes it's looking somebody in the eye and telling them the truth instead of what they want to hear. You're not going to get that with AI, young people. You're not going to get that with AI. You need somebody that can get uncomfortable with you, because what God is trying to do with you, and I need you to understand this, AI cannot accomplish. And I know some of you going, I know that. If this ain't for you, just amen it and go on. But you know, there's a story in the Bible where it says that, Exodus chapter 20, that God said, I want this altar made, but here it is, you're going to choose certain stones, because as soon as you put a tool to that stone, it's going to be tarnished. I need you to understand this for a second. God says, I got these stones that's going to be an altar. And maybe when you put it together, I'm paraphrasing here, but there's a reason he said don't use your tools to shape it. God said these altars are going to be these stones, and nobody's supposed to take a tool, Ted, and chisel on it and do anything to it. You know why? Because God knew, as humans, when we put that altar together, we go, I don't like how that fits right there. I'm going to stir some trouble up here. Husbands and wives. Remodeling. Husbands, you can do your job. You can do the best you can. Backsplash, whatever. You can do the best you can. Your wife's going to go. Right? Pick out something that nobody else is ever going to see. I don't like that spot right there. Yup. I'm like, where? Right there. Like, I know my eyes are bad, but I got to get up on it. And I'm like, I'll see what you're saying. But I don't see anybody going, you know, you got a bad spot right here. But ain't that human instinct to look for the flaws in something? And God says, I want this altar built just like it is. And you're going to be tempted when you look at it to go, I wouldn't have done it like that. Are y'all with me? AI is going to help you build it like that, but it's going to factor out, and listen to me here, the years and years of the water, the rain, the soil, and I feel the Holy Spirit when I say this. I need you to understand that when God says, I want that altar built with these stones, you need to understand that he put those stones there from the very beginning. Every drop of rain that hit it, every stream that flowed over it during the flood, every other rock that banged against it during the flood, all of those things that made that rock what it was, Bernard, God had been working on that rock for years and years and years, and he said, those are the rocks that I want, and I want them just like that because I created them. And when you put it down there, you're going to think that's not good enough, but I'm here to tell you that they are good enough because I've done it. The world is going to try to make you believe that within the church context, we need more than what we got here. But I'm going to tell you something. God ordained this thing years and years ago. And I don't care how much technology advances, we have everything we need within the body of Christ to accomplish everything that God has given the church to do. Sort of one of those things. Keep your hands off of it. I preached up Claypool one time about the Spirit of the Lord. This is a total different direction than what I got there. I'm flipping that iPad like I'm looking at it. Don't even know why, it's just a habit. But I preached up at Claypool about the presence of the Lord. Y'all remember when the Ark of the Covenant, was it Obed's house? Obed Edom? And David said, man, we need to bring that thing back to Jerusalem, back to its rightful place, right? And so he devises this plan. God says, there's a way that you're to move that. But David goes, I think this way's better. So what he gets is a board and four big wheels. So for years in the church, what we thought we needed was a board with the big wheels on it. Y'all want to dismiss right now? We got a board with big wheels on it. You got the, always crack me up, you got the big tithe payers, right? I'm thinking they either tithe or they don't. Everybody's 10%. There's no big, no little. So you got the money people and all this, and we devise this board in a way, and we think that's the answer. But how many of you know, the first little stumble that takes place, the presence of God slips. And just reaction. And I know some of you don't understand this, but just reaction. Somebody reaches out and grabs it. God strikes him dead. Somebody goes, man, he was doing a good thing. Sometimes the ends don't justify the means. God said, don't touch it. He meant, don't touch it. And so you might go, well, I think he was doing the right thing. I think he was interfering in God's business. You don't know that God didn't make that thing stumble so that it would almost fall off there and he'd catch it and levitate it right in the middle of the air and take it to Jerusalem himself and say, you know what? Y'all were doing it the wrong way. I'm going to show you how to do it. Y'all with me? But he just reaches out and touches it. So God strikes him dead because it wasn't in the formula. It wasn't the way he was supposed to move it. And so David finally gets the idea. He goes back and reads the scripture and he says, you know what? It don't really make sense to me, but how God said to do it, I'm going to do it. Can I tell you something? AI is going to suggest a big bunch of ideas to you, but at the end of the day, let me refer you back to the instruction manual and tell you if God said to do it that way, that's probably the way that you should do it. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for the instruction manual. Because there's a difference in being led by information and being led by the Spirit of God. We can reason things. I'm talking about our own intelligence right now. I think it's just a form of AI. Artificial intelligence is just a big culmination of all the intelligence of humans. Right? But how many of you know that intelligence is limited? Did you all know that you didn't know it all? Am I bursting your bubble? I did see a shirt one time a guy had on said, I don't need Google, my wife knows it all. Y'all ever seen that? I didn't wear that. I'm just saying, it's out there. But sometimes, we do all that we can up here, and then there's a point that's limited, and God wants to do something else beyond. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ever think or imagine, according to the power working on the inside of us. That Holy Spirit that's working on the inside of you, right? He's able to do those things. And I wanted to give you an example this morning of a time, and I'm not going to lie to you, I was tapped out here. I tried to reason it. I was asked to have and listen, this is legit. Kelly can testify to this if she remembers. The older we get, the more we try to help each other remember. Remember me doing a revival at the nursing home? It's all right to go, huh? They had a pastor, and he wanted me to do a revival at the nursing home. And I thought, this is unique. Never heard of a revival at a nursing home. But I said, sure, let's do it. So automatically my mind goes to thinking about old people, ain't got long to live. You know what I'm saying? Like probably not in a good place. You know what I mean? All those things. So the first night, I just sort of override the Spirit of the Lord. I just assume what I need to say. I go in and talk to them about, you know, God's always with you. Was it true? Did they take encouragement from it? Probably. But the next day, I was like, Lord, that just didn't feel right. What do I do here? Like, I'm tapped out here. Like some of them, they, I don't know if they're listening. You know what I mean? I'm in a nursing home. I need help. And you know what he said? Son, it's a revival. Just go in there and preach it like it's revival. I said, all right. I showed up the next night. I preached those that had the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. And there's a story I tell. It made the biggest impression on me, one of the biggest impressions of my spiritual life. There was a little old lady that I felt so bad for. She was one that couldn't set up on her own. You know what I'm talking about? They put like the tray or whatever around her because she was here. And the night before, tongue was hanging out. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, didn't know. I didn't know. I thought, man, she's not hearing anything I'm saying. You know what I mean? I feel real bad for her. She's in real bad shape here mentally. She ain't hearing anything I say. That's because I was speaking from one human to the next. But that next night when the Lord said, go in and do what I tell you to do, there were spirits that was bearing witness. And I hold my hand as I'm standing right here. When I started preaching, that little lady raised her hand, started worshiping the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, I feel the Holy Ghost. You should have been there is all I can tell you. She come out of that commons area with her feet. She went down the hallway and came back in there. And I knew exactly what she's doing because I'd done it 100 times at my church. She was running the aisles for the Lord because she heard something. Are y'all with me? I'm going to tell you something. AI can't do that. Your knowledge can't do that. Only the Spirit of God can do those things. Why would we try to tap into anything else other than a spirit that can go beyond those things? Can I tell you one more story like that and I'm going to hush? My grandfather, who had Alzheimer's really bad, he was a pastor for years and preached at different places and just filled in and a preacher, and he had Alzheimer's really bad. And I mean, we eventually had to put him in a, Burner probably knows what I'm talking about here, we eventually had to put him in a room and put the heat up in the ceiling. He would peel the paneling off the walls. He was just, you know, he'd go to people's houses and lay down and not know where he was at. And it was just a sad, sad situation. And they used to let him roam the holler some because it was a little bit safe because everybody knew him. And my Aunt Shirley tells me a story about one time there was a ladies' meeting during the middle of the day in the basement part of the Bruno Church of God. And she said as they're coming in, I think it was Sister Morgan, when I.W. Morgan and Sally was there. I was really, I don't even know, I had to be super young because I barely remember them at all. But they were going in to have the ladies' meeting, and my grandpa was walking down the road, sort of come through the church parking lot, and she said, Brother Arthur, you want to go in here? He's really just fearful for where he was going. And he just went that way, and she said, when he went into church, said he took his hat off. And he went in, and nothing but him and a bunch of women there, and she said, something hit me, and I said, Brother Arthur, would you like to preach? He said, I sure would. He put his hat down, said he preached like a wild man for 35, 40 minutes. Just like he always had. Said he dismissed, went back out the door, put his hat on, went back to being like a child. And I tell you something, there's only one explanation for that, and that's got to be the Holy Spirit of God and the anointing of God. Our minds can't conceive that stuff. AI can't achieve that stuff. It's only through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You may say, I know that. I need you to never forget that. I need you to never allow that technology to take you out of this right here, because if my grandfather had not stumbled up on some women meeting in the middle of the day, I would never have that story. Are y'all with me? If everybody stayed home and said, we're just going to Zoom today, we'd have never had that story, but it's because people were gathering together and God was in the middle of it. God is in the middle of you gathering together, and it's not about being isolated. It's about needing one another and getting comfortable with the fact that you need one another, letting iron sharpen iron, get in a group, grow somewhere, and spiritually allow God to form the altar that He wants exactly the way that He wants it. And the best thing we can do is sort of keep our hands off of it and allow Him to do what only He can do. Can you stand with me to your feet? So here's what I want to do this morning. I want everybody